Welcome, everybody, Anna. Thank you for taking the time to join me here today. I'm going to start in about a minute or so's time just to allow any last delegates to join. But first of all, if I could just run through a little bit of housekeeping. Now, you have all been muted, and I would ask that you don't unmute yourselves throughout this morning's session, just so we can minimise any background noise interference. Also, I'm sure you're already aware from the join instructions, but this webinar is being recorded. So if you haven't already, please could you make sure that you do turn off your cameras and keep them turned off throughout? Otherwise, we'll be recording yourself as well as me. Now, I think that's most people joined in now, so I'll begin. I hope everyone is keeping safe in these unusual times. And once again, thank you for joining me here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Gillian Hindle, and I'm an associate solicitor at KBL working in the commercial property department. Now, what I'm here to talk to you about today is the impacts that the COVID-19 restrictions are having on business lease agreements, along with how the government has responded to this and how this affects you as either a landlord or a tenant. And I do believe that we've got quite a split of a mixture between both landlords and tenants watching today, so I am intending to try and cover it from both angles. Now, my focus today will be on one of the biggest concerns that both landlords and tenants have right now, being the payments, or non-payments as the case may be, of any rents that are due under a lease. I intend to run through what I would refer to as the standard clauses in the majority of commercial leases, along with the provisions that have been temporarily brought in by the government and what remedies might be available. After that, I then intend to go through some common questions and answers that I've been receiving both over the past couple of weeks and also in advance of this webinar today. Now, if at the end of today's session any of you have any further questions, perhaps more specific to your own individual circumstances, then please do get in touch. My contact details can be found on the KBL website, and they will also come up at the end of this webinar for you to take down if you do want to get in touch about anything. So I'd like to start off with what I refer to as a standard clause that's in the majority of commercial leases. Now, this is referred to as the rent suspension clause. The way this operates is that it allows a tenant a rent-free period should the property that they occupy become inaccessible for use due to damage. For example, if a business tenant was using a property for the purpose of a restaurant and there was a fire at the premises which rendered the property unusable, then the rent suspension clause would kick in and it would allow the tenant a full or a partial rent-free period whilst any necessary repair works were being carried out. Meanwhile, the landlord would likely have cover for loss of rent arising from this circumstance in their building's insurance. So, from a rent point of view, both landlord and tenant are covered. Tenant doesn't pay any rents for the time period they aren't able to use the property, and landlord claims back any loss of rent from their insurance. The situation that we're currently faced with has meant that due to the COVID-19 restrictions, many businesses have been forced to close unless they offer what the government has deemed to be an essential service. So for those tenants who don't offer an essential service, and let's use the example of restaurants again, the tenant will find themselves having to close their restaurant for the time being, but they will still be tied into their lease, which demands the usual monthly or quarterly rent payments. Now, the rent suspension clause within the lease here offers no help to the tenant, as it's usually only triggered in the event that the property is inaccessible for use due to damage, not due to government intervention. Equally, for the landlord of that property, unfortunately, it is unlikely that their insurance policy will offer any cover due to loss of rent due to a pandemic. You usually only get cover for an insurable risk. Having said that, it is always worthwhile checking your insurance policies or calling your insurers just to clarify if there is any help available. And a further point on that, in the insurance as well, relating to a tenant. For those of you who are tenants and who have business interruption cover in place, under the terms of a standard policy, again, it's unlikely any cover will be available, but please do check and speak with your insurers as you may have cover for business interruption due to denial of access, so if you can't get into the property. Loss of attraction, for example, if you're in a shopping centre situation, or for a notifiable disease. And COVID-19 became a notifiable disease in England and Wales on the 5th of March. So it is always worthwhile checking those policies and speaking to your insurers just in case you do have any cover, and they can help ease those burdens that you might be feeling right now. But as I said, under the majority of standard insurance policies and in the majority of the standard lease clauses, there won't be any relief available for the situation that we're in right now. So where does this leave a tenant who can't occupy the property and generate the income that they need to meet the rent payments that are due to their landlord? Well, on the 25th of March, emergency legislation was passed through Parliament, and we now have the Coronavirus Act of 2020. Now, this offers some support to tenants of commercial leases in Section 82. So Section 82 states a right of re-entry or forfeiture under a relevant business tenancy for non-payment of rent may not be enforced by action or otherwise due in the relevant period. So if we break this down, starting firstly with the definition of rent. Now, under Section 82, rent is defined to include any sum of money that a tenant is liable to pay under a relevant business tenancy. So this covers your usual monthly or quarterly rent payments, any service charge payments, your insurance costs, and any other sum that's usually paid under the terms of the lease. So it is a wide definition and not what you may assume to be just the rent. Now, the relevant period they've stated, this commences from the 26th of March and it runs until the 30th of June. However, there is provision for this to be extended should the government decide to do so. So keep an eye out for that. And the relevant tenancy, I think this intended to apply to most business leases, but it doesn't cover licences or tenancies at will. So on the face of it, Section 82 operates to prohibit a landlord from forfeiting a lease should the tenant fail to make any payments due between the 26th of March and 30th of June. Good news for a tenant, you might think, but perhaps not, because what the legislation does is it only prevents a landlord from taking forfeiture action for the non-payment of rents within that relevant period. It does not prevent a landlord from making a monetary claim or a statutory demand against a tenant for any outstanding sum, nor does it prevent forfeiture action from being taken for any other breach of lease. Now, even if that breach is as a direct result of the COVID-19 restrictions. A landlord could also call upon any guarantor to a lease for any unpaid rents, and it's quite common for directors of limited companies to stand as guarantors to their company's leases. So again, please be aware that a landlord could pursue any guarantor directly for unpaid rents. Likewise, unpaid rents could be recovered from a rent deposit if one was taken at the outset of the lease. And usually under a rent deposit deed, the tenant is then obliged to top up the deposit should any withdrawals be made. And a further option for a landlord would be under the Commercial Rent Arrears Recovery Procedure. Now, this enables a landlord to remove goods from a tenant to the value of any debt owed. Now, practical considerations of this in the current climate would obviously pose an issue for the landlord seeking this remedy, but it may be an option once these restrictions have been lifted. Usually, if a landlord has failed to take any action against a tenant for a breach, then they run the risk of forfeiting their right to take action, as a failure to act amounts to a waiver against the breach. However, Section 82 of the Coronavirus Act specifically states that a landlord's failure to take action against a tenant for unpaid rent during this relevant period will not amount to a waiver of the landlord's right of re-entry or forfeiture, nor does it amount to a waiver of the rents or of any interest that may accrue under the lease terms for late payment. If you are a tenant who is struggling to make rent payments right now, don't assume that your landlord's inaction at present will waive their right to do so after the 30th of June or later should this be extended. You need to also remember that the rent is still due along with any interest that accrues under the lease terms. So what can be done? Well, we know a landlord can't take forfeiture action against a tenant for non-payment of rent between the 26th of March and 30th of June, but they can take other action, including a monetary claim, forfeiting for an alternative breach, calling upon a guarantor, withdrawing from any rent deposits, or removing goods to the value of the debt. The landlord also retains the right to charge any interest and associated costs for late payment, so far as the lease permits this. But it does need to be considered whether a landlord would want to take any of these actions in the current climate. Are they going to want the property back and run the risk of it being sat empty, incurring empty business rates liability and being a target possibly for vandalism? Equally, would they want to pursue an action for recovery of the rents and possibly sour that previously good relationship between landlord and tenant as ultimately this could then lead to the tenant taking steps to find alternative premises on the expiry of the lease term. And given the impact COVID-19 will undoubtedly have on the economy, landlords are likely to be more concerned with keeping the tenants in the property longer term. So what we're seeing to be a preferred option between landlords and tenants is they're looking to come to some sort of agreement where possible over any rent payments that may be due right now. Now, this could involve agreeing to extend the dates as to when any current or missed payments will be made. Or it could be negotiating a reduced figure of the rents for the time period that the property can't be occupied. Now, if you take this approach, assuming it is successful and the parties are in agreement, it can provide clarity to both landlord and tenant. It offers the landlord the security of knowing what payments can be expected and when, so they can in turn budget regarding their own financial commitments. Meanwhile, it offers the tenant the comfort of knowing that action won't be taken against them, and equally they too can plan around their own financial obligations. I must stress that this option, whilst we are seeing many landlords and tenants being willing to come to some sort of arrangement, it is all a matter of negotiation. There is no obligation on either party, and the landlord does have those alternative remedies available if they choose to use them. If you are thinking, or if you have already been in discussions with either your landlord, or if you're a landlord, then your tenant, and you have come to some temporary or even permanent arrangement as to the payment of rents under the lease due to the impact of COVID-19, then I cannot stress enough how important it is that you formally document what has been agreed. Now, any agreement should be documented either by way of a formal side letter to the lease if it's a temporary arrangement, or if it is intended to be more permanent, then by way of deed of variation. Please do not assume that a telephone call or even an email exchange will protect you and will offer as evidence of that arrangement, because it wouldn't. Now, as I said earlier, the law states that a landlord's inaction now does not waive any right to being able to pursue the rents by one of the various ways later. And a phone call or an email exchange won't amount to a waiver of that right. It does need to be formally documented. And landlords, if your property is mortgaged, then please also make sure that you check your facility agreements, as it is likely that you may need to obtain the bank's consent to any temporary or permanent variation of any lease terms. Now, if any of you do need any assistance on this, as I said earlier, my contact details are available on the KBL website, and I would be happy to draw up any necessary paperwork if need be. Or if you're looking to discuss maybe one of the alternative options, then again, please don't hesitate to get in touch. Now, before I move on to my questions and answers section, I wanted to run through another issue at present regarding rents in leases. This relates to those leases which are subject to turnover rents. Now, these are commonly found in the retail sector. So a prime example would be a lease of a unit within a large shopping centre, such as the Marketplace in Bolton or the Trafford Centre in Manchester. Any large shopping centre or retail park which houses a number of businesses and often has high footfall. What you generally find is that a lease of a unit within a large shopping centre often contains a turnover rent clause. The way this clause operates is that it determines either the whole or part of the rental figure the tenant has to pay based on the turnover that the tenant's business achieves. And what you will find too is that coinciding with the turnover rent clause, you're likely to find what's referred to as the keep open clause. Now, this clause requires a tenant to keep the premises open for business during set times. Obviously, right now, if you do have one of these clauses in your lease, then you are likely to be in breach of it. However, usually the way these clauses are drafted is that they do permit closure when required by law. And there will also be other provisions in your lease to comply with the relevant laws, so not a major concern. However, care needs to be taken in turnover rent leases where they contain a penalty for closure in breach of that keep open clause. Now, some leases with these provisions in allow a landlord to charge a percentage of the base rents or an average daily turnover rent for those days the premises are closed in breach of this provision. There is nothing in the legislation to prevent or to restrict landlords from charging this penalty, and it is unlikely there will be a provision in the lease that would account for the type of situation that we're currently faced with. It remains to be seen how a court would view such a matter brought before it and whether any penalty payments or rent would be enforced or not, but I think care does need to be taken if you are a tenant under a lease with these provisions. Again, approaching your landlord and coming to some form of agreement is what is suggested, and making sure that you do take the appropriate steps and have the necessary paperwork in place to support. So that is the summary of where you stand regarding rents due under a lease and what action can be taken if payment isn't received. But I'm just going to run through now some common questions that have been raised in this area over the past couple of weeks from clients, and also those that have been raised in anticipation of this webinar, and hopefully provide you with some further guidance. When the lockdown measures first came into force, I was approached by a client who owns a large industrial site which houses a number of tenants. And in conversation with one of the tenants, it transpired that a select few number of the tenants were intending to not make the next rent payment. And I would just point out that the particular tenants who were intending to withhold the rent weren't necessarily struggling for the rent payments, and at least one of them was still managing to successfully operate from their property and had even, in conversation with the landlord, commented that his influx of business had increased as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. So the question this particular landlord client had was, can a tenant choose to withhold the rent? Now, generally, the answer is no. Most modern leases prohibit a tenant from withholding rent, and whilst at present a landlord's right to forfeit is currently restricted, as I've discussed earlier, there are other options available, and if a tenant is seen to be trying to take advantage of the situation, as was the case in this scenario, then a landlord may be much more willing to pursue one of the alternative remedies. So if you are a tenant, unless your lease has some provision in it allowing you to withhold rent, which is unlikely, then my advice would be to either keep paying it as you would do normally, or to speak to your landlord and come to some agreement. And if you're a landlord, then again, I would suggest first and foremost speaking to your tenant, as they could be really struggling, or they could have been given misinformation and think they don't need to pay right now, as there have been a lot of misguided conceptions that I've come across. And again, if either of you are struggling as landlord or tenant and you do want a private conversation after this webinar, then please do get in touch. Now, the next question I wanted to cover is, who would be responsible for the costs associated with a deep clean? The answers to this will depend on your individual situations, but as a general rule, if you lease a standalone property, and by standalone I mean not part of a larger building or a shopping centre, then the tenant would be responsible party for any required deep cleaning. If the property is part of a larger building or a shopping centre, whilst the tenant would be responsible for their own individual area that's been demised by the lease, the landlord would likely be responsible for the common parts, and so any common area would fall within the landlord's responsibility to be deep cleaned. And it's likely that if this applies, the tenant would also be paying a service charge to the landlord, and any cost incurred with the deep cleaning of any common areas, it's possible will be charged back to the tenants through that service charge. So even though the landlord may carry it out, the tenant would suffer the cost for it. Now, I must stipulate this is a generalised position based on usual clauses found in modern leases, but if any of you do have any concerns, I'd be happy to review your lease and your individual situation just to confirm. Now, another question which has been raised prior to this webinar is whether a tenant is entitled to a rent suspension or reduction. Now, hopefully I have already answered this for you, but just to clarify, no, the tenant isn't entitled to any suspension or reduction of the rent. It is all a matter of negotiation right now, and we are seeing requests being made by tenants and some landlords agreeing, but there is no obligation on a landlord to agree to suspend or reduce the rent. Now, most leases also state that rent must be paid without reduction or set off. So again, if anything is agreed to the alternative, then please make sure you do get this formally documented to be able to rely on it. Now, I've been asked from both landlords and tenants if a force majeure clause within a lease can be relied on to bring to an end to the lease due to the COVID-19, and if not, would common law principles of the doctrine of frustration allow termination of the lease? Or in more simple terms, can a tenant bring a commercial lease to an end as a result of COVID-19? It's always worth checking your specific lease terms, but it is not common to find a force majeure clause within a commercial lease. These clauses are more commonly found in construction type contracts or development agreements. However, if your lease does have this type of clause within it, it will then depend on the specific terminology of the wording of the clause as to whether COVID-19 is covered. And in any event, it is unlikely that a temporary suspension on being able to operate from the property will satisfy these provisions. So if there's no force majeure clause, then we turn to the common law principles of frustration. Again, this works on a similar basis, but this is a much higher bar to meet, and it is unlikely to be satisfied by a temporary suspension on accessing the property. The only ways, or the only possible likely ways, that a tenant can bring a lease to an end would be by it coming to the end of the stipulated term, so a natural end to the lease, through negotiating a surrender with the landlord. And again, with this option, there is no obligation on the landlord to allow a surrender, and they'll often stipulate they want a payment for allowing a tenant to surrender a lease early. Or a third option might be via the exercise of a break option if the lease contains one. Now, just a quick note on break options there. If your lease does have a break date that's nearing, and this is something that you are considering, please do review this sooner rather than later, as break clauses are usually time critical and they require specific notice provisions to be complied with. If the notice isn't served correctly, then you could lose the option to break. So please be careful here. Once again, emails, phone calls, they're not going to be sufficient. Also, if any of you have already, either pre the COVID-19 outbreak or since, served notice to break under the terms of your lease, then just going back to the rent due, it is usually a condition of a break clause for the rents due under the lease to be paid up to the date of the relevant break date. And it's also a common term for a break to stipulate that vacant possession must be given. So if you have served notice to break your lease and you're struggling with rent payments, or if your break is imminent, meaning you'll struggle to access the property to remove all items, allowing vacant possession, then you will be at risk of forfeiting your right to break. So if you do have any concerns, then again, please do get in touch after today's session. Now, the final question I wanted to cover today came from a landlord. Now, they have a tenant who operates an independent DIY store from the premises. And as some DIY products fall into the category of essential items, they have been able to continue to remain open. However, the landlord was concerned due to the knowledge that one or more of the employees of the tenant's business had contracted coronavirus. Therefore, the question was whether she could stop the tenant from using the premises. Now, what I will say about this particular situation is that the landlord was more concerned with the health of the upstairs tenants, as the ground floor of the property is a DIY store and the first floor is a residential flat, which is home to an elderly gentleman who falls within the vulnerable category. Now, I'm sure we can all appreciate the concern here, but in terms of preventing the business tenant from occupying, the landlord isn't entitled to do this. Another standard provision in the majority of leases is a tenant's right to quiet enjoyment of the property. And this can't be interfered with by the landlord unless there have been breaches of lease to support a right of action or forfeiture. And obviously, again, at present, failure to pay rent won't amount to this right. Now, in this particular scenario, there weren't any common or shared areas between the upstairs and downstairs tenants, as they each had their own separate access. But let's suppose the situation had been slightly different, and say, for example, the property was a large building which leases individual office floor space to a number of different tenants. Now, they all have common shared areas such as an entrance lobby, lifts, bathrooms, or possibly a kitchen. In this situation, it is highly likely that the leases will contain a clause which allows reasonable regulations to be put into place by the landlord or any managing agent for the landlord for the management of the building. And again, you will often find that within these leases, usually there will be a provision for a landlord to limit the services that are available. Now, for example, a landlord could possibly restrict or limit, where necessary, the use of any common areas, such as lifts in the building. This would prevent people from being in a confined space together. If you are in this situation, and if you do intend to put into place any management regulations, then please make sure that you check the specific terms of your lease for details on what you can and you can't do. And if you are unsure, then again, by all means, please get in touch and I'd be happy to have a look. Now, just a final point on this as well. If you are concerned that your tenant is still operating from the property in breach of the guidelines, the government have published a list of those businesses which have been ordered to close temporarily, along with any exceptions to the rule. So it is worth regularly checking this for any updates, and you can find this on the government website at gov.uk. So that brings us to the end of our questions and answers section, and I hope today's webinar has been of some help to you. Just to quickly recap, if a tenant doesn't pay the rents due under the lease from the 26th of March up until the 30th of June, the landlord's right to commence forfeiture action for this unpaid rent is prohibited. But there are a number of other remedies available to a landlord, and the rent is still owing and due, along with any interest for late payment, unless you agree otherwise. If you are struggling my advice would be to open up a dialogue with your landlord or tenant, but make sure, even if you take nothing else from today, please ensure that any alternative arrangement that you come to is formally documented, either by way of a side letter to the lease, or if it's more permanent arrangement, then by way of deed of variation. Emails and phone calls will not be sufficient. Now, if you have any further questions, or if you would like a more specific conversation about your individual circumstance, then please do get in touch and I'd be more than happy to help. My contact details, as I've said, are on the KBL website, and I will now share them with you just so you can take them down if need be. So thank you very much for watching and hope you all stay safe.